Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach somebody to read. I'm Tim Shanahan, your host, and today we're going to talk morphology. Is morphology training better than phonics instruction? Now, this is a blast from the past. And what I mean by that is this posted as a blog on September 10th, 2017, the first time, and it's being reposted on April 12th, 2025. It's never been a podcast before, so it's original in this format. But these blasts from the past make those earlier blogs available to new audiences, and they afford me the opportunity to either reiterate points or to reconsider earlier claims. This site is dedicated to improving reading instruction through a close consideration of research. But research is an ongoing enterprise. Anyone who takes a principled stand based on science had better be prepared to dine on crow occasionally. This is one of those times. Accordingly, I have not rewritten this entry, but hope to correct it with new prefatory and end notes, perhaps comparing these current views with those originally expressed will illustrate what the impact of science should be in our field. A good deal of research on the value of morphology instruction has appeared since this blog first posted. These newer studies have strengthened the case for a larger and an earlier place and a broader purpose for morphology instruction. As this blog pointed out, most research on morphology teaching showed that it increased vocabulary knowledge and improved the comprehension of older students. That's still true, and yet, increasingly, studies reveal an impact on decoding and spelling with younger students and struggling readers. I still advocate for the primacy of phonics instruction in getting kids into the reading game, and that word knowledge should only take up a quarter of the instructional attention. Phonics and morphology, though different, both contribute to the abilities to decode from print to pronunciation and spelling. Phonics is a simpler place to start, but morphology can begin to contribute early on. Peter and Jeffrey Bowers have been wise to argue for the early and ongoing inclusion of morphology in word study and for its ability to improve decoding, though possibly at times they've overstated these claims. In any event, I wish I'd paid more attention to morphology when I taught first grade. The original blog entry included no references. This one is chock full. If you want to know what changed my mind, read this literature. So here's the beginning of this blog that posted so many years ago. Man, sometimes when you publish a blog entry, you wish you'd stayed in bed. You hope to write something that someone will find useful, but the responses might make you feel more like you've been dropped onto the set of Fox News or MSNBC. Recently, I've been smacked upside the head by several readers upset with me for not proposing more and more thorough spelling instruction and morphology instruction focused on spelling with the aim of improving decoding skills. Some of those arguments have been, well, energetic. Traditional phonics instruction emphasizes letters and sounds, but ignores the morphological and etymological reasons for spellings, my critics have pointed out. Reading experts have long recognized the importance of the morphological aspects of word meanings, but there's been little pedagogy aimed at the morphological aspects of spelling or decoding. I've seen lots of linguistic evidence that's been sent to me to convince me of the morphological nature of our spelling system. And most of that work cites Dick Vineski's seminal contributions. In the 1960s, when computers first allowed for the large-scale quantitative study of language, Dick revealed the surprising consistency inherent in the English spelling system. Contrary to what had long been believed, that English spelling was a confusing mess, Vineski argued that whatever was lost in ease of pronunciation was more than regained in the consistency of meaning inherent in our spellings. Hence, the endings of dogs and cats may be pronounced differently, zzz, but their identical spelling consistently and helpfully signals plurality. I'm happy to see that Dick's work continues to bear fruit in linguistics. He was one of my teachers and friends. He even helped me to design morphology-oriented spelling measures for my doctoral dissertation. But I think you'd be surprised to hear his work used as an argument against phonics instruction. He was a big phonics proponent, though he too could be pretty critical about the designs of some of our popular phonics programs. Dick not only had expertise in linguistics, but extensive knowledge of psychology and computer science. He knew that teaching kids to read was different than inputting a linguistic system into a computer. Despite the flaws and shallowness of many, perhaps most phonics programs, when it comes to features like morphological sophistication, phonics teaching gives students a clear learning benefit. What Dick Vineski came to believe was that phonics instruction gave students clues to the English spelling system. Students then rely on those clues to figure out how the system works. Phonics instruction does not teach everything one would need to decode text. Kids are not electronic computers. But it provides them with useful pointers and puts students into a mindset to try to recognize patterns and understand the system. That doesn't mean he would or that we should reject the idea of introducing morphological explanations and clues earlier in the curriculum, only that we shouldn't be so sure that it would improve things as much as morphology proponents seem to assume. For example, one colleague pointed out that in some phonics programs, kids are taught to divide the syllables of action in the following manner, action. He argued that this was a bad choice because it obscures that the root word is act. That's correct linguistically, but does it really matter when you're 7? Initially, we hope to teach kids enough to allow them to come up with an approximate pronunciation of a word that is already in their mental lexicons. Primary grade kids know 5 to 10,000 words. It's more likely they'll come up with action by saying action than by saying action. The issue here turns on what would be best for beginning readers. Is it best to help them to figure out the meanings of unknown words or to help them to translate print to pronunciations of words already in their oral language? I think it's the latter. So that is translating print to pronunciations. I don't mind delaying most morphological work until phonics is mastered. However, there are arguments that we should teach morphology earlier and even in place of phonics instruction. One critic wrote that the National Reading Panel findings were out of date since we now know morphological training to be more beneficial than phonics. Eeks! I look at these critics' evidence. Bowers and Bowers 2017 provides a nice summary of this work. Specifically, there are two studies of morphological training for young children. One especially weak study, impossible to tell if the outcomes were due to the training or to existing ability differences in the participants, claimed long-term benefits to preschool morphology training. The second was an experimental study that examined the impact of 10 hours of morphology teaching. This one claimed to enhance reading performance by more than a grade level. Not surprisingly, the outcome measures used were tightly aligned to the training, and there were other design weaknesses as well. That's the entire body of instructional research one could use to prescribe instruction for preschool and primary grade kids. And in both studies, everyone got lots of phonics instruction too. Not exactly proof of the inadequacy of phonics. Again, I can't really say that these folks are wrong. We might be able to affect clear reading improvements by teaching the morphological aspects of spelling earlier and more thoroughly instead of what we currently provide with phonics. But I won't be prescribing reading instruction based on a single 10-hour study. The reason why I insist that we teach phonemic awareness, phonics, spelling, vocabulary, word meanings, including morphology, oral reading fluency, reading comprehension strategies, and writing is because there are dozens, even hundreds of studies done by different researchers with different kinds of kids with different variations on the instructional routines, but with a consistent and substantial learning payoff. Why trust 100 such studies on phonics? Some carried out for as long as 3 years over a single small study of 10 hours of morphology instruction? I think you can probably answer that one for yourself. I hope researchers will continue to propose provocative hypotheses about learning and that they'll continue to evaluate these ideas rigorously under a broad array of instructional conditions. And if they find something that consistently helps kids, then I hope we'll adopt their ideas. Until then, I won't be recommending morphology over phonics or other terrific but unproven ideas, no matter how intelligently, reasonably, or even vociferously those opinions may be stated. Now, I've added a post note. This note is posted on April 12, 2025. It says, although this blog opposed much early attention to morphology, my views have changed as new evidence has accumulated. Most of this research is focused somewhat later in the primary grade sequence, so I still contend that it makes sense to start by teaching students to translate print to pronunciation, in other words, some form of phonics instruction. However, I am increasingly being convinced that the early introduction of morphology does make sense. Morphology teaching should be introduced even when explicit phonics instruction is still being taught. Gradually, the proportion of word reading instruction should shift from phonology to morphology. The judicious approach would be to include some simple morphology lessons as early as kindergarten, increasing these as the new vocabulary and spelling demands justifies. What we need now are evaluations of experimental morphology curricula to help us understand better how to accomplish this. But clearly, morphology teaching should be taking an earlier role, not taking the place of phonics, but supplementing it early on, earlier than I stated originally. Now, if you'd like to receive a written copy of these remarks, you can go to the Shanahan on Literacy website. This is a posting on April 12, 2025, and it's titled, Is Morphology Training Better Than Phonics Instruction? So you should be able to find this easily on the Shanahan on Literacy website. Now, one of the benefits of getting the written version is that the research references are there, and this one has a whopping 26 references, and many of them are to those newer studies that I was telling you about that have been conducted since about 2017, that are showing these decoding and spelling benefits to early morphology instruction. It also provides a link to the earlier version of this. Now, I haven't rewritten this blog entry, but the earlier one elicited 140 comments. And so you might be interested in getting to see what lots of really smart people have written in, either challenging my ideas or agreeing with them and maybe amplifying them in some ways. With that, I'm going to say this is the final word on morphology today. I'd like to thank Greg Johnson, our sound engineer, for the work that he does. And thank you for tuning in. I'll see you up the road a piece.